This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Wright.
And I'm your host, Adam Scalina. And Corey, super excited about today's episode. We're talking about how you can turn dough into dough.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. Like, and this is no disrespect to any guests we've had or anything else. This could be my most exciting episode ever. Why? We're going to break down the pizza business, which from a landlord perspective, pizza is one of the things you have in every single mall,
yes.
Every restaurant. It's also a great litmus test for the economy when pizza places are doing good. Because when the economy starts to slump, you make pizza at home. When the economy is good, you order Domino's. So landlords use a lot of this data that they can when they're trying to figure out tenant mixes and all of this fun stuff. But one reason why I'm so excited is I'm also selfishly trying to convince Clay to give me free pizza for life.
Right.
So this is kind of an underlining thing. That's why it's my favorite episode ever. If I can get free pizza for life, I'm the happiest guy there is. So on the program there, speaking of that, we have Clay Spaulding, founder of Wildflower Pizza Co.
Wildflower Pizza Co. So a lot of people in Vancouver will definitely have heard of Wildflower Pizza. I'm curious more so like the proliferation of the buck slice. Like why have we seen... I remember when I was a kid, it was like you had to order the whole pie.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, everywhere or certain cities would have buck slice, you know, you'd go to like a major downtown or whatever. But now it's like buck slice is everything.
Yeah.
They're on every corner.
Fresh slices and Uncle Fetty's and
Let's
all this.
Talk about the competition, Corey.
Well, but we're it's like,
Clay's they are the everywhere.
Best. Clay's is the best. So we're not taken away from that.
Yeah. And I'm curious also to know how he sees the vision moving forward and growth and expansion. And it's all super exciting. Corey, let's cut to our conversation with Clay Spaulding.
Enjoy, guys. This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial. John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have,
friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
This podcast is sponsored by Atlin at Clayton Crest, a master plan community in the West Clayton area built by Zentera Developments.
Zentera is an absolute force, Adam. They've been nominated for Multifamily Builder of the Year for 10 consecutive years and just won again at the Georgies for 2025 Multifamily Home Builder of the Year.
What's really exciting about Atlin is the West Clayton location. You're within walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, giving you that perfect balance of city access while living in a peaceful, family-friendly community in the Fraser Valley.
And if you have kids or are planning to start a family, there's an on-site daycare where residents get first access. This kind of thoughtful planning is why Zentera's projects stand out in the market.
The amenities at Atlin are incredible too, Matt. A rooftop patio with stunning views, fitness center, co-working space, and lounge areas for events. The outdoor space is extensive with two fitness areas, three children's play areas, and multiple spots to relax.
With major investments happening in the SkyTrain and the 72nd Avenue extension, West Clayton is set for explosive growth. This is genuinely one of those opportunities to invest in a community before values skyrocket.
And that's really the key here. This isn't just about finding a beautiful place to live. It's about making a smart investment in your future as the whole area continues to develop.
Pre-sales for Atlin will begin soon. Register today at atlincondos.ca. That's atlincondos.ca.
Okay, so we're here with Clay Spaulding. He's the founder of Wildflower Pizza Co. How you doing, Clay?
I'm great, guys. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks so much for taking the time today. We've been doing this podcast for a few years now. We've never actually talked about the pizza industry. So this is pretty exciting as two people that eat way more pizza than we probably should. That's
me as well. I'm in here every day. So
nice. Can you maybe start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, for sure. As you mentioned, I'm Clay Spaulding, and I come from the restaurant and hospitality world. I kind of got the start, in my late teen years as just kind of a summer job, and just kind of fell in love with it and continued. Here we are a couple decades later, and just worked through, all the different roles and experiences, just trying to get a really good understanding of the business from the ground up. And over the kind of course of those years, I was fortunate enough to work with some really successful brands and mentors who kind of took me under their wing. And I learned so much from them. The experience was invaluable. And kind of from there, I went on to getting an opportunity to kind of get into the ownership side of the business in 2018 and more of a kind of full service restaurant. And then, it's getting your kind of foot in the door and get started in restaurants is always challenging. It's very capital intensive. And my business partner at the time and I, we were scrappy. We were trying to make it work, and we were doing pretty well. And then March 2020 rolled around, and as you guys know, kind of flipped all industries on its head, and we were forced to kind of make some quick decisions. And essentially, basically, we scrapped our menu. We cut it down by about 75%, and pizza was a portion of our menu at the time, but it was something that we were passionate about and kind of wanted to lean into. And basically, what I learned over the next kind of few months completely changed my outlook on the food service business and how I had been operating it in the past. And my prior experience was in full service restaurants. And basically, you'd get a menu book, it'd be several pages long. There'd be many different offerings. And, managing those restaurants, I always found it to be super challenging to make, whether it be 20 to 50 menu items really well and execute them all kind of, seamlessly and put them all together. And I think the thought process behind that was, have a large offering, kind of cast a wider net and attract more people. And it was kind of through that early COVID process that I just kind of realized, having a super simple menu and just doing one thing and trying to do it really well was something that aligned with me. And basically that was when Wildflower Pizza was born. We wanted to kind of skip the complexity and the formalities of having a full service restaurant. And, our goal was simple. We wanted to make the best pizza possible in a fresh, kind of friendly takeout style restaurant. And when I started designing the Wildflower concept, sourdough kind of entered the conversation, and we knew it would be challenging kind of executing a high level volume while managing the natural fermentation side of it. We wanted to make everything from scratch, and, it was a tall order, but that was kind of the whole point for us at the time. We didn't want to cut corners. We wanted to stand out. And I'm really glad that we took that approach because, after the concept was kind of created, we got our first store open in Burnaby in April of 22. And it became evident pretty early on that the concept was a hit. People were really liking it. And we just kind of kept rolling from there. We were fortunate enough to get our second store open last year in Langley. And we're just focused on continuing to grow the brand and continue to build on what we've already started.
I feel like a lot of people were experimenting with sourdough over COVID. That was like one of the more popular things. So, but actually doing it well is completely, completely different. But Clay, so just for people that maybe haven't tried, I feel like Wildflower, it's like a big word of mouth type. I feel like a lot of people have, you hear people say, oh, you got to try this. What differentiates Wildflower Pizza from other regular pizza places? Like, what are you doing different? And can you tell our listeners just a little bit of like the origin story of like the brand itself?
Yeah. Sourdough it's complex. And for the home bakers during COVID, they probably have a bit more of an understanding. It was something that I just honestly loved doing kind of before COVID, just making kind of artisanal sourdough bread and working with, really nice flours and, staying away from commercial yeast. But the reason we kind of leaned into that was, as you mentioned, like there's pizza's a pretty challenging category to begin with. And honestly, we just think it makes a better pizza. You get better depth of flavor. You know, it's just a more natural process. There's health benefits. It's a bit lighter. It's easier to digest. You know, it's a tougher process for sure, especially when you're a high volume restaurant. You know, that's probably why we haven't seen a lot of competitors kind of go that direction, because it's not the most economical process, but the results that you get from it, I think, are far superior.
It's funny, but I feel like one of the interesting things you mentioned was like the simplicity of going from like a menu that has 20, 30 plus items to really dialing in what you do well. And it always makes me think of, I think it's Meat and Bread, right? Downtown, where it's like, they've got like three choices on the menu, but they do them all incredibly well. Is that kind of what was driving it, or was it more so pizza, or was it like a combination of the two?
That's a good question. I think, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about with Meat and Bread, and I actually love that brand. I found myself kind of just getting more interested in places that were really kind of intentional they were doing, and, you know, wanted to find a lane and just stick in it. And yeah, I think just through my, you know, working in the different restaurants and trying to cater to so many people and so many different avenues, that you kind of lose your identity a little bit. And I think when you focus on one thing in particular, it kind of gets everyone on the team aligned. And, you know, restaurants can be, you know, I've operated restaurants that have had hundreds of seats, and you know, you have a really large team. And, you know, the reality of it is you have some really talented people and some people still learning. And I think when you have one cooking station, you know, everything's going in and out of the oven. It allows you to kind of free up your talent and have the best people working on that kind of high impact station. And for us, you know, going through restaurants and labor challenges, it was important for us to have a concept that was not only kind of simple to execute, but having the right people in the right place at the right time.
Well, Clay, I had a couple motivations, obviously, to have you on today. One of them is I'm really hoping that the exposure of this podcast is going to get Wildflower, that I'm going to qualify for free pizza for life. And also, one thing, just from the commercial real estate standpoint, is pizza's a hard tenant to place. And why I say that is everywhere you want to go, every well-located plaza has a pizza place already, it feels like. And I know we've been helping you to try to expand the concept into a third location. And it's not as easy to get these great locations that everyone thinks they are. But what makes the pizza industry so successful? Obviously, it's a well-known food. But is there any, without giving away the secrets, what makes the pizza industry so successful as a whole that they're literally everywhere and it's very rare that you ever see those stores close down?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Like, there's no secret. Like, you know, firsthand, Corey, we've been looking for another location for quite some time. And it's hard because, you know, one, it's a super competitive category. There's, you know, there's some really big chains that, you know, have scaled really fast across the country. And, you know, there's, you know, if there's a pizza place in a large plaza, there's often restrictive covenants that allow other pizza places to go in there. In terms of the turnover and why they're a bit more successful than other food service industries, there's a few things. Like, I think you can operate out of a pretty small footprint that helps with some overhead costs. I think it's something that travels well and is kind of like, you know, people, you know, if you're in a big group setting, people order a bunch of pizzas and can kind of take it. It's something that can kind of be left out for a bit and, you know, still be good. It can be refrigerated and ate the next day. And, you know, people don't necessarily, you know, when they think of pizza, I don't think they always necessarily think like they have to go and sit in a dining room and,
The
operators have to pay for that space. But probably the most important thing is potentially a food cost perspective. Like, when you get into steaks and proteins and kind of higher cost ingredients and waste, it can be hard to control those costs. And basically with pizza, you know, cheese, it's pretty straightforward. You got flour, sauce, and cheese, and then whatever kind of ingredients and toppings you want to put on it. But for the most part, costs are pretty stable. And, you know, going through all this economic, like going through COVID was wild. And then people saw, you know, even the food service industry, we saw certain ingredients like olive oils or any oil really was going up a couple 100% in a year. So, you know, trying to control those costs and, you know, the bigger your menu, the more it can fluctuate. And I think, you know, pizza places in general just kind of limit the risk a little bit.
Well, I know from like a landlord perspective, it is high on most retail landlords' lists to get a pizza concept in there because they tend to attract well. They don't terribly take up too much parking compared to a sit-down restaurant. And like I said, the turnover ratio of that industry is very, very low, that they do become a really, really sought-after tenant. You mentioned there about COVID and stuff like that. I don't want to say pizza is like pandemic proof, but how did the pandemic change the pizza business? And I'm guessing in a better way than anything, but was there any major changes coming out of COVID that maybe that helped that industry grow even bigger than it already was?
For sure. I think, to be honest, like the consumer dining habits changed. I don't want to say like forever, but definitely still, like, you know, when we saw the dining habits of, I guess the food apps have kind of been the biggest kind of change since COVID, when, you know, people could go on their phone and click a few buttons and get food delivered right to their doorstep. And it's not limited to just pizza, but I think that kind of changed the game. And, you know, just the convenience factor of how easy it is to now order food through those apps. And I just think the concept works really well because it's just designed for how people are eating right now. And, you know, I think pizza is something that can travel well. And the large majority of our orders are takeout and delivery. Like, we do have a few seats in the dining room, but, you know, the model was built around takeout and delivery. And, you know, people still want quality, but they want convenience. And, you know, doing just pizza, we're not everything to everyone. We're just pizza, and we're just trying to make consistent quality food and be able to, you know, provide that for customers in a kind of convenient way.
How, Clay, and forgive me, we've ordered your pizza on the apps, but do you do buck slice at the retail locations?
We get a lot of people asking, and it does kind of generate a lot of foot traffic, but we don't at the time. We just offer full pizzas. We actually only offer one size of pizza too, which really helps us kind of streamline the operation and not be prepping a bunch of different, stretching in different sizes. And, you know, some people like it, some people don't. But for us, it's, you know, we're confident in our product, and it's really about just getting it out consistently and having that, you know, serving something we're proud of and having that kind of consistent product that people can rely on.
How important was it to capture like the gluten-free crowd and like, because I feel like you've got some different offerings from like the dietary perspective.
Absolutely. And honestly, it's been massive. You know, we just keep seeing those numbers increase. And I don't want to say like during COVID, it kind of spiked. It was definitely a trend and very popular. And the reality of it is there's just a growing population of people with dietary restrictions and preferences. And I think being a one-stop shop for people that can, you know, get those items but not have to sacrifice on the quality. And, you know, we put a lot of passion into all of our pizzas and all of our ingredients. And I think that's really helped us grow, to be honest. And, you know, we make our own kind of plant-based cheese in-house. And the gluten-free product is probably the only thing in the restaurant that we don't make. But, you know, people love it. And it's important for us to have those.
Clay, obviously, I know you guys are anxiously looking to expand. So, like, what does the future of Wildflower look like? Like, what is the goal with the concept? Because obviously, it's a very successful brand already. Where do you see it going? What's the plan?
That's a great question. I'm ambitious. I would like to see, you know, several more stores. I think growing is important, but I think the pace of growth is more important. You know, I've talked to you about this before, and I think, you know, just trying to focus one store at a time is kind of the model for us right now. But, you know, the amount of inquiries we get about franchising and opening in different parts of, you know, the province and country and has been really high. And it's something that, you know, we're taking inventory of. But, you know, for us and for me, most importantly, is kind of having the control over the quality. And it's more important to have a really strong brand reputation for me than to try to grow too fast, too quick and lose control of that. So I think, you know, the goal has always kind of been a store a year and hopefully that picks up. But right now, yeah, we're just taking it kind of one store at a time.
Question I have for you with regards to just like, obviously you guys don't deliver your own pizza, But you do see like competitors like Domino's, where you get the Domino's drivers and that driving around with their little light up signs on the roofs. I'd love to find out how those stay on one day, because I saw one guy going.
So many questions. That's next week's guest.
Traffic, right?
I saw one guy today going, he was flying and that thing wasn't moving. Like, I know it's a magnet, but that, how strong are those magnets? But my question is the food apps obviously have probably contributed to your business. Has that contributed to your business in a positive way or a negative way? And by I say negative, because obviously they're charging fees as part of it. Is it benefiting you as a business owner with the food app explosion post-COVID?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, of course, they're a business too, and they, you know, charge a fee for that service. And you know, it can be expensive for sure. But to be honest with you, like the amount of volume that we do on those food apps it's almost half of our business.
Wow.
You know, being in front of people, like how many people go on every night and go through those apps and decide what they're going to eat? You know, and it's just kind of being front of mind. And I think, there's definitely, when we look at the weekly fees that we have to pay out to those partners, it's a big number. And I'm sure we could limit that number by having some drivers internally. But, you know, on a busy night when you're doing a couple hundred orders, like that's a logistics company, that's not the part of the business that we want to focus on. And, you know, focusing on different parts of the business would kind of take away from our primary focus. And, you know, it's just a cost that we've put into our formula, and it's a cost that we're happy to pay right now.
What are the top three things you look for when you're looking for a new location, Clay?
Foot traffic and kind of brand visibility is something that's on the forefront for us. I think for this next store, like we want to build brand awareness, and we want to be kind of in those high traffic corner areas. It's tough being, you know, only really our footprint's around 1,000 square feet and probably a little bit bigger for the next one, but it's really hard to get those ideal units. But something with good visibility, I think finding something that has the right layout and, you know, square footage is really important. I think a lot of, I don't want to say restaurant, but maybe a lot of businesses maybe don't take that as seriously as they should. I think, you know, when you look at your cost, you know, the real estate component and the lease that you sign and the relationship that you have with the landlord is so important. And it's something that shouldn't be rushed because you want to get your business going. And I think really kind of understanding what your formula is for your business and how much square footage you actually need, and to not have to pay extra on the space that you don't need, is really important. And then probably the last thing about real estate is the deal, is, you know, how much, trying to find a site that makes sense for you, but, you know, what's the price per foot? You know, is there a build out allowance? Obviously restaurants are, like I mentioned, are very capital intensive to get open. So if there's ways to kind of help, you know, ease that pain a little bit and then deals that make sense long-term, you know, there's sites that are available that, you know, you can tell that in the next 5 to 10 years, they probably won't be there, right? So do you want to outlay all this money to have a short runway or work with kind of partners that, you know, you can see yourself there for the next 20, 25 years?
Well, I got great news for you. That's what William Wright Commercial's here for.
That's right.
Selfish plug. I'm just, you know, I feel like you've had great success kind of since COVID and since the origin of the business, but what have been some of the biggest challenges? And is it related to space, or has it been like building out the business or making those tough decisions about when not to go after too much and keep it simple? Or?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's always challenges. Restaurants are notoriously hard businesses to operate. And, you know, I think having a really strong foundation kind of going into it, I knew what to expect, but I mean, you can never fully prepare yourself. I mean, last week our mixer went down and, you know, they didn't have the same type of model in BC. So, you know, we were kind of in full stress mode trying to figure out temporary solutions. And I was running kind of dough back between the two stores. And, you know, there's always little kind of crises that pop up that, you know, impact your business. But, you know, you kind of figure out ways to kind of battle through those. And in terms of like operational challenges, I would say the biggest challenge is usually staffing. you know, it's often a transitional industry where people are maybe getting a job while they're going to school or getting a job while they are a second job, maybe after their primary job, or, you know, having people that are working there but don't necessarily see it as a career path. And I think, you know, we've been a lot more intentional with our hiring, and the career is not for everyone, but trying to hire people that can see a bigger runway, because, you know, it's expensive hiring and training and turnover. And I think, you know, just trying to find the right people has been the most important thing. And, you know, over the past 12 months, that's probably the area of the business that I'm most proud about is kind of having a really great management team and leaders that are invested into the business and really care about what they're doing.
One thing I know that we've talked about with regards to trying to find this help you find this third location there, staffing for the industry has always seemed like it's been a problem. It feels like it's been more of a problem as the cost of living and all this stuff has gone up. How have you guys found the staffing side of it? Because a lot of restaurateurs and people in that industry is one thing that continuously comes up as a going concern year over year.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, you know, I can only speak to kind of how things are right now, and it fluctuates. It fluctuates so much. Like, you know, during COVID, you'd post an ad for a job and get 100 resumes in 10 minutes, and you'd have to take it down. Like, you know, and then there was times at the end of COVID where you'd post an ad and you might get, you know, a few resumes of unqualified people. You know, I think the biggest kind of takeaway for staffing is kind of honestly what happens with temporary foreign workers. There's a lot of work permits and study permits and people looking for jobs that maybe aren't residents. And often those are the people that we've seen applying to our restaurants. And it kind of happens with what happens with the unemployment rate. And as that number rises, we see less of those kind of resumes coming through. So it's kind of case by case and seasonal. So at the current moment, like our staffing is pretty strong. Our culture is good. And when we do hire, we have pretty strong retention numbers right now. So I think that's kind of the biggest focus. But yeah, in terms of growth and attracting talent, like that's always going to be on the forefront for probably the hardest part of the business.
Speaking of culture, what's the culture like for pizza culture like in the Lower Mainland? And also, are you looking at other cities for inspiration, like moving forward, or have you considered other cities and what's happening with pizza?
Yeah, I think, you know, people are passionate about pizza. And I think, you know, just the overall customer culture is, you know, I don't want to say it's like a cult following, but people definitely like the sourdough. I think they feel better after eating it. And, you know, we've had a lot of success kind of on social media with some of the influencers that have been helping, you know, get our brand out in front of people. And, you know, in terms of specific cities, I think, you know, we're really kind of focused in on the Tri-Cities right now, is trying to find our third location there. I grew up in Port Moody myself, know the area really well, and would be excited to open kind of a store in and around there. Coquitlam Center's just seeing some super expansive growth, and we'd love to be in that market. Yeah, and my wife and I moved out to the Fraser Valley, you know, back in at the end of COVID, and you know, I'd be happy to continue to open some more stores out this way too. So we don't have any kind of super specific markets at this time, but we have, you know, we have areas that we're interested in.
Amazing, Clay. Well, we appreciate you taking the time today. I know you're super busy there, and it's obviously a Friday when we record, so you're getting ready for a busy night ahead of you. But before we let you go there, we have a six-pack of lighthearted questions we ask all of our guests. Can you hang out with us just for a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, first question up. And there's really only one answer to this question. I'm kind of leading you down the right road here, hopefully. Okay. Could be a long road, if you know what I'm saying. Favorite band?
Favorite band? Well, that's tough. I'm a country guy, so I'll go with Chris Stapleton.
Ah, good one. Nice. Yeah, so pretty good.
Okay, Corey's got his like 15 Canucks questions here.
Yeah, well, Clay's a hockey guy. Clay's a hockey guy. Clay's a hockey guy.
You probably don't want to hear my answers if it's about the Canucks.
I'm going to skip those and let Corey ask, but favorite vacation spot?
Favorite vacation spot? Well, my wife and I actually took the little one down to Mexico this spring, and we stayed at this resort in Playa del Carmen. It's called Hotel Xcaret. It's spelled X carat, and it was unbelievable. We loved it. It was great for the kiddo. It had incredible food, which means a lot coming from me. I got pretty high standards for the food, but it had a Michelin starred restaurant on the resort. Like it was,
wow,
it was really top notch. And yeah, we're already like, can't wait to get back there.
Is it an all-inclusive?
It is. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. I'm going to throw some hockey questions in here because you're a hockey guy. Do the Canucks trade Elias Pettersson this offseason?
I don't think so. I that's not what I hope for, but I don't think it'll happen.
All right. I'll throw another question in here for you. Does Connor McDavid re-sign in Edmonton?
Oof. I mean, what a heartbreaking loss for those guys again this year. I was really hoping he could get it done. I think so. I don't know how they could let him go. And I think him and Leon have a pretty good relationship. So I don't know. I think they got to find a new goalie. They're so good. I think that, you know, when they lost, you know, Hyman in Brown 3, that was a big blow for them. I don't know. I think they're going to get it done, but obviously it wasn't this year.
I think he's saying what he has to say to keep people on the toes right now. But I'd like to think that Leon Draisaitl, before signing an 8-year contract, probably called Connor McDavid and said, hey, are you planning on staying before he signs the 8 years?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're so good together that it'd be a shame to see it broken up. But I don't know. I think he's loyal. I think he'll stick it out.
Yeah. Why would you want to go down to Tampa Bay or Florida where you can wear flip-flops to the hockey rink, golf in the afternoon, pay no state tax? I understand why you want to stay at Edmonton at minus 40. Yeah, makes sense.
I mean, that's well, I think the league's going to look into that no state tax thing because that makes a pretty big difference. So,
well, if you look at the last six Stanley Cup finals, Tampa Bay were there 3 times. Florida was there 3 times. 4 of the last 6 cups have gone to a state that has no state tax. It's going to be a problem as a salary cap. But that's another podcast.
Yeah, it's called Spit and Chicklets. Last but not least, Clay, if you had to give one piece of advice for a person considering getting into the pizza business, what would your advice be?
I think the biggest piece of advice that I would give to kind of anyone looking to do pizza or any type of food service business is just kind of constantly measuring and recalibrating. I think whether it be your food cost or labor cost or how customers are ordering or what those trends are, I think things are changing so fast right now. And the businesses that can stay lean and flexible and be really adaptable are the ones that will keep winning.
Awesome. Clay, how can our guests find out more about all the exciting stuff you guys are doing at Wildflower Pizza?
Yeah, you can go to our website at wildflowerpizza.ca or follow us on social media. We're pretty active on Instagram and our handle is wildflowerpizzaco.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for taking the time, Clay.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Thanks so much, Clay. Take care. There you have it, folks. Our interview today with Clay Spaulding, founder, Wildflower Pizza Co. I would say the most delicious episode ever.
In crust, we trust, Corey. This is...
That was cheesy. That was cheesy.
Yeah, no, Clay got a pizza in my heart. So this is... it was a good conversation. We really enjoyed having Clay on the program. Again, founder of Wildflower Pizza. So many good takeaways. So very interesting just in... how many of these pizza shops exist?
They're everywhere.
How to differentiate yourself, right?
Well, one thing I'll tell you too, from like the brokerage side, and we've been very fortunate to work with Clay on his second location, which we talked about on the interview there today. He's looking to expand his concept. One of the challenges you have on the brokerage side is finding a good location that doesn't have a pizza shop already in the location that has the exclusivity clause that doesn't allow other pizza to come in. So people think like, you know, just think of every location that you're going to go to. You're going to find a sushi restaurant.
Yeah.
You're going to find a pizza shop. It's hard to find great locations that are available for these concepts because that concept, maybe not the same type of concept within the industry, but there's already a pizza slice already there. They're not as easy to place as you think they are.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. So, Corey, if people want to reach out about pizza or anything else, how can they get in touch?
They can reach us at our Vancouver office anytime, 604-428-5255. They can send me an email, corey@williamwright.ca, or visit our website, williamwright.ca. Sign up for the latest and greatest.
Perfect. Well, have a great week, guys, and we're back next week with another great episode.
Thanks, guys.
Subscribe today.